You may be wondering why the sermon title is Why Wait instead of something about love, which would make sense. I don't know if you're keeping track at home, but if you were scoring the epistle lesson, the word love in one form or another appears 27 times in that. It's one of those things that when you're writing it out, which I've done, eventually the word starts to make no sense. You've just seen it too many times. I don't know if this has never happened. I've heard this has happened to other people. Maybe it's never happened to you. But it's very disconcerting when a word that you know what it is no longer makes sense because you've said it too many times or you've read it too many times. The worst that I've ever had to deal with is I once had to take a dictionary and look up the word fish to make sure I was spelling it correctly because I'd written it too many times. But we will get to talk to love about love at least at some point. But I want to talk about, or at least use as a jumping off point, the lesson that we had in Acts. It's a fascinating little story, just sort of dropped in here, where we have Philip, who is obviously connected enough with God that when God needs Philip to go somewhere, Philip listens and goes, and God says, go south to the road, the desert road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. Sounds like it's not much of a road. I probably wouldn't want to go there myself. It's not like being called to a back alley, but it sounds like it's being called to, oh, I don't know, pick your favorite three-digit road in Saskatchewan. And you'll probably have about the right thing. And so he's there, and on his way, he encounters an Ethiopian official. An Ethiopian eunuch is the traditional translation, but an official who's in charge of the treasury of Candace, the Queen of Sheba. So a very important person. This is not somebody who just happens to be there who has no role in the world. And it helps explain why he has a chariot. He's in the chariot, and it's big enough to invite Philip in. And so, through the Spirit, God says, go to that chariot and stay close to it. And he hears the man reading Isaiah. And so Philip, no doubt prompted by the Spirit, or perhaps just out of curiosity, says, do you know what you're reading? And the eunuch says, no, how can I know it unless somebody explains it to me? Which is a good thing for many of us who think we know everything just because we read it somewhere. But often we need some interpretation, we need some help understanding it. And so Philip provides that after the eunuch asks for it, who says, who is a prophet talking about himself or someone else? And Philip goes and through the scriptures, because obviously this official from Sheba is well aware of the scripture, and he goes through all the scripture and explains the good news of Jesus. So they traveled along the road and they came to some water. And the eunuch said, you know, I should be baptized someday, and I bet I will, but I have some things I need to take care of first. I have some sins I want to get out of the way before I get baptized. No, he did not say that. St. Augustine said that. Lots of other people have said that. And that's where this whole sermon title comes from. This is where this whole idea comes from. They're traveling along. They see some water. We don't know what it is, whether it's a pond or a slough or whatever it is. It doesn't matter. This Ethiopian person says, look, there's water. I should be baptized. Let's get baptized. The sub-theme of why wait. And he doesn't wait. They get off the chariot, which is obviously big enough for two people, and Philip baptizes him, and then Philip disappears, which is a story in and of itself. Never really known what to do with that. Somebody once described it as Philip Airways and wished we could travel that way ourselves, but it doesn't work that way very often. But I was thinking of this whole thing. Why wait? Why do we wait? Now, not everybody does. Some people, as soon as they have an idea, they just dash away with it. And I find people like that almost incomprehensible because it's so different than me. And it's not that I don't, you know, when my house was on fire, you know, I dealt with that. And when Hadley went into labor, you know, I didn't sit around and think, well, I wonder what this means. No, we got into the car and I broke a number of laws. I would have happily paid the ticket. It was 5 a.m. He didn't have too much to worry about. But, you know, when something needs to be done, you do what needs to be done. But for a lot of these other things, it seems to many of us, certainly to me, that thinking it through is a good idea. And that's okay. When you're thinking, there are many things. It takes some thinking through. What's the best way to move forward? Sometimes you need advice because you might not know enough about what's going on. So you need to talk to somebody and get some help with that. And that's all that's all fine and good, and that's not particularly what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is St. Augustine, who, depending on the translation you read, said to in prayer, "Give me chastity, but not yet." Listening to a podcast today, it's about philosophy, the history of philosophy. And Augustine popped up in there a couple of times. And interesting enough, I'm also reading to an introduction to Augustine's philosophy, because I need to get a better idea what's going on with that and what his thought is. And Augustine, father of the church, left us some problematic theological issues that we're still struggling with, but still, you know, very much an important voice in the church and in church history. He didn't want chastity right away. He was enjoying what it was like to be an embodied soul more than he wanted anything else. But why wait? If you want chastity, why wait? If you need to be baptized, why wait? And when we look into our epistle reading, depending once again on the translation, all those uses of the word love in there and how it begins, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God." How often do we wait to love somebody? Well, when we put it in those terms, the answer is probably, we never wait. But what are we called to do? What are we called to do? What's the thing that Jesus said we're supposed to love the Lord our God with our heart and soul and mind? Okay, we got that. And love our neighbor as ourself. So, have we ever put off helping a neighbor? Maybe not your next door neighbor, because you have to live next door to them, and if they ask you for something that you can provide, you're probably going to do it. But as Jesus made perfectly clear in the parable of the Good Samaritan, our neighbor is everybody. So why wait? Why do we wait to do what it is that we can do to help people, to demonstrate that they matter to us and that they matter to God? Well, sometimes it's because we have to make sure that this, that, or the other thing is in the correct order, and sometimes that's necessary. But I've been in the church for a long time, different churches, not just this one, not just the Presbyterian church even. I've been in Baptist churches and Alliance churches and other churches. And one of the things that I have found often is that we want all of our questions answered before we do something. And that's not necessarily the best way forward. As I've said before, and as is no surprise to any of you, I don't think, the opposite of faith isn't doubt. Doubt is part of faith. The opposite of faith is certainty. And so when we insist on knowing the answer to all of the questions about what's going to happen next, whether it's something as profoundly important to us as our congregation, our community of faith, and this building that we're in, and these things that we're thinking through and thinking about, if we're waiting to know everything, we will never do anything. Because there's always something more to learn. There's always another question to be asked. That was one of the worst things I found when I was a student. And I asked around, and then when I was counseling students, I found that for most really good students, it's really hard to know when to stop. It's really hard to know when you just finish the paper and hand it in, because there's always more you could research. There's always more you could do. There's more you could learn. There's more sources and people you could consult. And it wouldn't be wasted time, because the paper might get incrementally better with all of those things, but you'd never hand it in. Why wait for the things that need to be done? An academic paper is a trivial thing, but I know people who have gotten stalled in that feeling that there's got to be a little bit more to read and a little bit more to incorporate, and they've missed deadlines and they've gotten bad grades for great papers because they were so late. And it's not that we want to know what's coming from a bad place very often. We want to do what's right. We want to get it right. We want to cover all the bases. But sometimes we're just waiting and we need to ask ourselves why. Why aren't we doing the thing that we need to do? Why aren't we acting on that little nudge that we get on the inside of us, maybe just from ourselves, maybe from the Holy Spirit, to phone that person we just thought of, to drop them a note, to do an act of kindness, to give from what we are able to give to someone who needs it? When was the last time you did any of those things and felt terrible after? Often I find myself thinking, oh, I should just drop them a line. Oh, they don't want to hear from me. I haven't called them for a long time. I haven't sent them an email for a long time. They'll just think I want something. I don't know what I think, but I think lots of dumb things that make me put it off even longer. And then eventually I do it, and no one has ever said, what do you want? What's the big idea? Why are you getting a hold of me now? No. They say, it's good to hear from you. Thank you for sending me an email, for sending me a text, for phoning me, whatever it is. Couldn't that have happened earlier? Yes, it could have. So why did I wait? Why do we wait? I wish I had an easy answer, but I don't. And often the questions that Scripture pushes before us are questions that we need to wrestle with, and I think this is one. For us as a community of faith, when we think of the future of our congregation and our meeting place and all that goes into that, and perhaps for some of us as individuals, as we think of what's happening next, or we look into the future, or we wonder what we should be doing, maybe we need to ask the question, what are we waiting for? That was the other sermon title I thought of, was what are we waiting for? But I like this one because it's got some connotations that I think get at some different things that might help us think. So I can't tell you the best way to stop waiting, even when you know you shouldn't. I don't know the best way to push yourself into action, because I haven't discovered a consistently good one for me. But what I will tell you is that over and over again in Scripture and in the life that we've all lived, waiting isn't always the best thing to do. Sometimes it is, and I'm not going to dismiss that or dispute that. But often we find that if we would have acted a little bit earlier, nothing would have been worse, and maybe some things would have been better. So I don't know if any of you are waiting for things at the moment, but if you are, ask yourself that question. Why am I waiting? And if you know why and it's a good reason, then wait away. Dashing off like a bull in a china shop doesn't do us a lot of good either. I've never really done that, so I don't know what it's like. But I do know what it's like to put something off and put something off and put something off until the moment arrives when I think I can do something and the actual moment has passed. And I missed an opportunity to be able to be helpful to someone, to be useful to someone. I'm trying to ask myself the question, what am I waiting for and why am I waiting? And maybe those are the kinds of questions that you'll find valuable as well. Amen.